Okay, well, welcome back to our study of Genesis. Before we jump back in to the fourth day, Lynn brought up a really good point. As we were going through the scriptures, she noticed, and y'all listen to this, in verse 5, "In the evening and the morning were the first day." And then you jump down to verse 8. "In the evening and the morning were the second day." Verse 13. "In the evening and the morning were the third day." But we were just reading in verse 14 about the sun and the moon being created when we go through 14 through 16. So think about that. Think about the light that shines.
So where was the light coming from? Well, we just got through with the revelation where he told you there wouldn't be any need for a sun and moon in the city of Israel. Why? Because God's going to be the light. And so where was the light coming from? Obviously, it's coming from God. I can't give you all the detail of it. But here again, I thought about this actually for years. It's amazing to me, you know, we talk about the sun being the day, but that's not what it says. The sun rules the day. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And on any given day when it's not cloudy, you see the sun distinct from the light all around you as far as you can see on the horizon. That sun is a distinct ball as it appears, okay? And so there's a lot here that we don't know, okay? But I know that the first 3 days were days. And it's interesting that he calls not day and night, but the evening and the morning were the first day.
Mm-hmm.
The evening and the morning were the second day. In other words, day being dominant.
Mm-hmm.
The day should be dominant on earth. The children of light should be dominant, not the children of darkness. But when the children of light refuse to shine, then darkness becomes dominant. And we've got to be not overbearing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not ashamed of who you are, not ashamed of what you believe. To where we just stand for the Lord. We don't force feed people and try to shove it down their throat. But by the same token, we don't fall for their garbage either. We take our stand as born again believers, and we live by the word of God, not by the word of the world. Okay?
Okay.
I thought you might be interested in that.
That's good. Well, we had read verse 14, but let me go back and read 14 and read all the way through that fourth day. Let me read the fourth day. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon them, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
And so the lights in the firmament were to divide the day and the night. But now look at this. They're to be for signs, for seasons, for days and years, and lights in the firmament to give light upon the earth. Now, when God speaks it, it comes to pass because God's a doer of His word. He's not just a speaker only. You know, that's where He puts it into practice. So God makes these two lights. Note that God makes these two lights.
Mm-hmm.
The greater light, being the sun, was made to rule the day. It dominates the day. Okay? The lesser light was made to rule the night. So the moon is to dominate the night. Even though you have countless stars in the sky, that moon is still the dominant light of the night. You understand? And you look at a full moon and the brightest stars pale in contrast to that full moon. Okay? Now, so he makes these stars and these lights in the firmament to give light on earth, and the sun rules the day and the moon rules the night. They divide the light, and then God looks at it and he says, "This is good. This is good." You understand? Now here again, there's the parallel between light and darkness and the born-again believer and the unregenerate person. One's light, one darkness. Darkness is not to rule over the light. You understand? The dark world's not to rule over the moon. The moon is to be very distinct in a dark world. Now, there's various phases of the moon, eight phase, lunar phases of the moon, and I don't know that I can remember all of them, but you start out with a new moon. Now, this is an interesting thing to me, because on a new moon, you don't see the moon. Because the moon is between, or pardon me, the sun is between the earth and the moon. And so it has it blocked out. It's not that the moon's not shining. I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, you know, that's like there's times we need to go through these cycles to where we're alone with God, hidden from everybody else, and getting the light of God on us, get the light of God in us. And then because of the rotation of the earth and the rotation of the moon around the earth and all these things, you'll see a little crescent moon. Well, that doesn't mean that's all the light there is, that's all you're seeing. Because the moon is still subjected to the sun, okay? And then you go down the line to these various ones and the quarters and then to the full moon. And the full moon is when it's totally exposed to where everybody can see it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get totally exposed, you had better be reflecting the light of God. I'm talking about the born-again believer. You have to be reflecting the light of God to the world. You with me? And then it's interesting how that in a person's life, you go through stages. I look at my own life and I see cycles in my life to where there's a time that, you know, you're alone with God and revelation's coming and you're not really sharing with anyone to speak of. And then you get just a little opportunity to share what light you have that the Lord's shown you. And then a little more opportunity, a little more opportunity. Then you have big opportunity to shine. And then it's interesting how it starts waning away again, and you got to get back in hidden with the sun. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think all that's coincidental. I think that God is giving us a principle of how important it is to keep ourselves in the presence of the sun. Don't concern yourself with who's seeing me, but let God show you in time, and then you get back in the presence of God. This is the way a Christian's life should be lived. You shine and you get back in. You shine, you get back in. You shine, you get back in. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have a more positive effect on other people's lives. Now, I don't know what the significance of all the stars are And the Bible teaches against studying the stars, okay? But they're there for a reason. God placed them there. I do know this, that you can be guided. The North Star is a guiding star. Ships set their compasses and all by the North Star. And periodically you calibrate. You calibrate by the North Star. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
That shows you the consistency of God. When He set it in place, He set it in place. Don't move. You'll always be at that place.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When God sets us, He sets us to be a guiding light as well. Jesus is our North Star. So we follow Him, and as we follow Him, we're giving people good guidance to get to Him. Okay?
Okay. Very good. What do you think about that, reading the whole day at a time?
Excuse me? On the days?
Yeah, did you?
You know, it actually, if you look at going back to the lunar moon, it takes the moon 29.5 days
yeah.
to circle the earth. That's why the Jewish calendar originally was set up on it's 30 days. They set a month as 30 days, and then periodically they put in a clearer month in to make up for the time that was lost. And so if you think about it, the earth is spinning, right? And so in 24 hours, it takes your 24 hours to go from day to day. You start out, you spin. When you get on here, you're not seeing the sun. Sun's still shining. You're just not seeing it, okay, until it comes back around. That's why they can predict sunrise. That's why they can predict sunset, okay? The system of orbiting is absolutely incredible when you think of the preciseness of God. And you think about Joshua when he's
yeah.
fighting and he says, "Sun, stand still." Well, actually what's happening is the earth stops rotating. Pretty amazing. The power of impregnated word, faith-filled word. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that out at you.
Yeah. We'll catch it. All right, verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven."
And so God says over the waters, all right, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And what God said came to pass. Now note here the order of creation. Now we get the fish, and now we get the birds. Okay?
Verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good."
So now God says to the earth to bring forth the living creatures after their kind. Cattle and rapid-moving animals that are living on the earth and everyone after his own kind, the things that creep on the earth. I've heard it said that that's the creeps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is obviously, you think about the insect and all these little rodents and all these other things that are on the earth. How all this was created, and it all has a place in the ecology. God has it all here for a reason. I hadn't figured out the good of yellow jackets yet, but they're here for a reason, I'm sure, okay? Because the Lord's not making mistakes. And so he brings all these animals, makes all these animals, and then we'll find later on, after he creates man, God doesn't make the animals, he just makes them. And then he lets man use creative ability. Okay, you want
to
go ahead?
Well, let's go back to, if we can go back and hit on verse 22 real quick. And you're going to see a principle here that I want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Is that God blessed them, speaking of these creatures he created, the water animals and the birds, and blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth."
Now we go back and we said it sort of, however, about the chicken and all that and the egg. But it takes a male and female to reproduce. I don't care what they tell you in college. It takes a male and a female to reproduce, okay? And so an egg has to be fertilized. A hen can lay an egg. But you eat those eggs, they don't reproduce. In order for that egg to be reproduced, you got to bring a rooster on the scene. And so God had to have male, female. You look at when Noah takes them into the ark, the animals before the flood, everything is by pairs, male, female, male, female, male, female. Two pairs of unclean, seven pairs of clean, male, female. Male, female. Why? And so the animals don't become extinct, so they can reproduce. Okay? When God made living things, he made those living things to reproduce. Fish reproduce fish. Birds reproduce birds. Cows reproduce cows. You understand? There has to be a bull on the scene. I understand all this. You with me? But God has put in these living things the ability to reproduce. God has put into the born-again believer the ability to reproduce. But reproduction requires maturity. You come to a mature age before you have the ability to reproduce. And once you get to that age, you can reproduce. Babies don't produce babies. You understand? Adults reproduce. Spiritual adults reproduce spiritual children. Spiritual babies influence, but they don't reproduce. Okay? I'm telling you, there's a parallel in this creation. A person doesn't evolve into a Christian. You're born again. Okay?
That's good.
We got 3 minutes.
Okay. Let me catch up to you. I'm a little bit behind you, so let me catch up.
All right, you catch up.
Okay. We've talked about the fifth day. Look at verse 24 with me, please. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
Now, when you see beast, it's actually talking about animals. Normally, when I hear the word beast, you know, I'm thinking of something ferocious or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's talking about the various animals. Whether that's a cow, a horse, even a pig. God made the pigs, you understand. And every other animal. He made those things. And then it says his evaluation is good. He saw what he made, and it was good. From the light, the firmament, the land, and the plants, and the fish, the birds, everything that God's making, the animals and all, everything God made was good.
Mm-hmm.
God did not make it bad. Man took what God made good and brought it into a bad shape or a bad position. So it's man that made things bad, not God. All right? And from there we'll stop and we'll pick back up in our next session with God creating man.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and speak the blessing to those who aren't taking the test. And your liberty to leave at your leisure. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. And you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you, flee before you. Do you guys have a great week.